First of all, junior hires, you're staying up here this month during Missions Month because we really want you to be part of this, and you're going to see some of our own kids being a part of this month. But in a second, I'll dismiss the teachers and the kids preschool through fourth grade. Before that, ushers, I know you just finished with an offering. And just for our church family, you know, in Mission Month, we take two offerings. We take our regular offering, and then at the end of service, we'll do our second offering, which goes directly to our missions. Ushers, I think you have these cards. Could you be ready to pass these out? Don't pass them out just yet, but be ready for these. So teachers and assistant teachers, you want to head downstairs. Preschool through fourth grade, you want to go to your classes. Head out. And then, ushers, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and pass these out. Everyone will get one of these, and you'll get one of these every week when you come through our Missions Month. So let me try and explain it just before Jeff and Tracy come up here. It's divided into three areas. You're going to see these three little flaps on it. On the back side is a verse, and my wife has hand-pasted the flag of the country that we're looking at. So if they come off, just lick it a little bit more and stick it back on. All right. But you can see a little of the color in the country. So that's on the back with the verse. And then on the front, you've got their story, our story, and my story. And each week that we're going through our Missions Month, we're going to spend time with that, their story, and then our church's story, and then my story. And that my story goes with the title of this series, Next Level. Next Level is about where am I at when it comes to missions, and what is God moving me to? Maybe you're a person that's aware of missions. Maybe you're not only aware of missions, but you've been supporting missions. You've been praying for missions. Maybe you've gone on some mission trips. Wherever you're at, more than anything, we want this mission month in May and then later in September when we get to our second mission month, we want it to pull us, to move us to new levels, okay? And we think just by hearing their story, our story, and then my story, when we get to that part, that's where we really want you to listen to what does God have for you. Each week we're going through their story, kind of jot down the things that land on you, okay? Maybe it's just a piece of information about the country. Maybe it's a piece of information about the ministry. Maybe it's about that national pastor and his family. Maybe it's something like that. And then as we move through the month, I think God will form a really good picture in your head. This morning, each week, part of our mission team is going to be doing presentations for those national leaders. And today, it's the Jones family. So you've seen Tracy up here before. That's not going to be a problem. You've seen Haley. Not a problem. Chase, he'll be up here later on to pray for our mission offering. Not a problem. But start praying for Jeff right now. Okay? Jeff and Tracy, come on up.
So, as you guys know, we are focusing on our international missionaries through this month. And Jeff and I have had the great pleasure of being able to get to know one of those couples and be able to share their life and their ministry with you today. And even better than that, you're going to learn about them today, but they're actually going to be here with us in a month to share in our service and to mingle with everybody. So, you know, it's great that you're going to be able to get to know these people through what you hear today, but that you're actually going to get to interact with them really soon. So that's a huge, you know, gift that we've been given that they're able to come for us. So up on the board behind us, you've got the We Are Family, which you can see a little better this week. Last week they were a little dark. Obviously, the one in the upper right, hashtag We Are Family. The one in the upper left, that's written in whatever language they speak in Albania. There you go, Albanian. It's a crazy one that took a whole lot of stickers to put up there. But the picture above us is Tony and Olta Minnelli, and they're from Tirana, Albania. And they're the couple that Jeff and I have gotten to know over these last few weeks, and that's who you're going to learn about today. But I want to, before you learn about them, I kind of want to tell you where they're at. I want you to know the place that God has put them in and where their ministry has, you know, grown from this tiny little seed to something much bigger. So, obviously, they're in Tirana, Albania. Did you know that Albania started as a pagan state? In fact, from 1944 through 1991, they were ruled by communism. So much so that the state declared, legally declared through the whole land, that there is no God. You are prohibited from thinking about God, learning about God, worshiping God. The government went through and they systematically murdered all of the Christians during that time period. This is right after the World War. This is during a time when, you know, people were trying to grow in their faith with Christ, and you have a government that comes in and says, you can't do that. The regime went on to destroy all of the churches and all of the symbols of Christianity in the state. In fact, the picture you're seeing on the screen is one of those churches that was brought down. And there's going to be a really personal tie between this destruction of a church like that and the missionaries that you're going to learn about today. Albania went even further. Not only did they declare there was no God, but they worked to isolate the people who lived in that country. They prohibited traveling abroad. They prohibited the private ownership of vehicles. The only way you could travel in the country was by bicycle or car or public transportation, and they limited you from having access to the outside world. So you couldn't hear about and learn about God in any tangible way. They isolated them so much. Did you know that the Albanian people didn't even know about the fall of the Berlin Wall until years later? That's how isolated this government made these people. But they eventually came to a place where communism fell.
All right. I'm going to stick to my notes. Thanks. Now you're going to distract me more.
Isn't that so appropriate?
In 1990, Mother Teresa, she was the first Christian religious figure to even visit the country. She did so because her family is buried there. And that led to a movement by the citizens and students that led to the fall of communism in 1991. So that wasn't even that long ago. And all this time, there was only three people in all of Albania identified as Christians. Actually, had a number of how many there actually are living there. But.
Millions. Millions of people lived in Albania, and three openly identified as Christians in 1991. That's huge.
So missionaries came from all over to bring the good news to Albania and to plant churches. So today, there's 70% Muslim, only 11% Christian, 5.4 Roman Catholic, and 6.4 Eastern Orthodox. And 29% still are atheists.
So 29% of the people there still don't believe that there's a God. 70% are Muslim. That's huge. Only 11% are Christians in Albania. That's where the Minnellis are working. That's where they're trying to plant God's seed. One of the missionary groups that came into Albania after the fall of communism is called Campus Crusade. It's called, it's known by CRU now. It's, they've got a website. It's CRU.org, CRU.org. And this was the missionary group that came into Albania that was starting to talk about God and trying to bring people to a place where they knew Jesus Christ. And it was this group and the seeds that they were planting that ultimately led to our missionaries, Tony and Ulta, getting saved. Yeah.
Changing pictures, all right?
This is Tony and Ulta Minnelli. I got a picture.
Married 14 years this year. We'll be going on 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, 15 years, like us.
Yeah, Jeff and I will reach our 15-year anniversary. And the Minnellis are reaching their 15th anniversary this year, too. So it's just, it was one of those things that as soon as, it was one of the first things we found out about them when we started talking to them. And it was that connection that we totally related to on them. But we found out we had more in common with them.
Yeah, they have two kids. They have an older daughter, Greece, that's 11. I think that's how you say it. And then Matthias is 9, so they're a boy.
Mm-hmm. They, unfortunately, so their kids are around the same age as ours, but they unfortunately were told when they first got married they would never have kids. In fact, they were told it was impossible, don't even try, there's nothing that can be done. But the Lord blessed them without them doing anything except praying. That's huge. And here's a picture of their family. So let me tell you about Alta. And I want to tell you about how she grew up. I want to tell you about where she came from and ultimately how she came to know God. So she was born into a Greek Orthodox family. She lived with her mother, her father. She had a little sister and a little brother. They lived in a very small village, and they lived around their extended family. She went to school. She came home. She interacted with her family and her family alone. She didn't have a lot of interaction with outside or non-family members. It wasn't allowed. After school, she came home, and they either continued to learn about atheism and they continued to learn about the things that the state wanted them to learn, or they worked for their family. They didn't have that opportunity to connect with outside people or to grow in any way. Her grandfather was a member of the Communist Party. And can you believe that he actually took part in the destruction of churches in Albania? So that picture you saw earlier of that church that came down, picture like you're seeing now, her grandfather did this. And she lived and was side by side with him as she grew up. So just imagine that environment that she was in and, you know, what she learned growing up. There was no God. It didn't exist. These things were not possible for her. I mean, that's huge. She eventually went to college, essentially. And I want to tell you just a little bit about her walk with Christ. When she was in college, Campus Crusade, CRU, had missionaries there on campus. And her roommate actually started helping them, doing some things around campus. And her roommate invited some of them back to their dorm room to have little informal just hangout times. And because, of course, she's in the same dorm room, Alta was kind of forced to sit and listen, right? And it was through that time that she started to hear about God. Not only that, but at home, her grandma started to celebrate Easter and Christmas. Not necessarily from a religious standpoint, right? Not necessarily because she was celebrating the birth of our Lord and the sacrifice and resurrection of our Lord, but just celebrating those two holidays. And so it was through this time that Alta was hearing about God that she felt that pull, and she gave her life to Christ. And she accepted him into her heart. And that's how she went from growing up in a home where God didn't exist, in a country where God didn't exist, to devoting her every waking hour to the Lord's work. That's a huge transformation for Ulta, right? So what about Tony?
Tony, he grew up Muslim. And he said he had a, like most, I'd say, people around him, he lived, for the moment, just good enough to get by, or, you know, thought that he was doing well enough to what everybody thought of him, and didn't think that, you know, going, you know, through God was the way, or just, you know, just...
Live for the moment, I think, is what he told Jeff. He lived for the moment. He lived for his own pleasure. He lived for what he wanted, his desires, right?
So in high school, a classmate told him about Jesus, but Tony actually argued forcefully against the idea that Jesus was Messiah. But he was curious enough that he read the Bible to attempt to be able to argue that Christians were wrong.
Anyone know anyone who does that? Opens up a Bible, and their purpose is, I want to read this so I can tell them why they're wrong, right? And we all have known people that like to do that sort of thing, not just with the Bible, but with other things. But that was Tony. He was the guy who was going to read the good book, but he was doing it because he wanted to be able to prove to everyone else it was wrong.
But through God's word, he listened that no matter how hard he tried to be righteous, he was a sinner before the eyes of God and needed God's grace to be forgiven. He saw how Jesus was the only way to his salvation. He then went to college and sought to learn more about Christianity. He took part in Bible studies and classes on Christianity. He has served the Lord for 18 years. For the movement, he clearly understood the gospel as he had desired to tell others the good news.
So that's Tony and Alta's background, where they came from, how they grew up, and how they came to know our Lord. So now we want to share with you how the two of them have chosen in their life to serve our Lord, and what they're doing through their ministry in Albania. Keeping in mind, this is what we have supported as a church family, right? This is what we have committed a monetary amount to help them accomplish. And it's huge. So they started out small, right? They got into a church. They started to lead Bible studies and small groups discussions about the Bible. And they decided to step it up, right? They felt called, after doing that for a period of time, they really felt called to do something more than just leading some Bible studies and talking with other Christians, right? They decided to start planting a church. For the last 6 to 8 years, they've spent their time planting churches.
Now they're on their third church plant, their newest church, which has just started. Reaching out to non-believers. Most of them are women, are non-believers who know nothing about Christ. So they start by focusing on building relationships between each other. And once they have that relationship, they can slowly share the good news with them. For those who already believe, they do a personal and small Bible studies with them to help grow in their relationship with Christ. Whether that is bringing them to a place where they accept Christ into their hearts and guiding them into a deeper bond, or even missions. Even though they are a new church plant, they are still involved in leading at the original two other churches.
So some of the pictures that you've seen pass behind us up on the screen are the pictures of the three churches that they planted. The first one had like a white background curtain hanging behind. That was their first church. And they're small, right? They started out small and they grew. And they ended up filling it. And they went to the second one, which had the green curtain behind it. And the picture you're seeing now, this is their newest one. This is a brand new church. In fact, they just celebrated their first Easter service there last month. And it was huge. And they had a lot of people, most non-believers there. But they had a fabulous time, and they said that it went really, really well. It's not like they have a five-piece orchestra up on the stage. They don't have a huge chorus singing, for hymnals and stuff. I mean, they've got a couple people who play instruments. They've got some kids that sing. One of the videos that I was sent, which I'll share with you at a later time, was actually a group of kids. You've seen our kids come up and sing a song, and they're doing their hand motions and things, right? Especially after church camp, because they all come back from Silver Birch doing that. But then they don't stop, which is great. But they actually sent a video of that. So they worship together. They have a group of Albanian girls that have started singing in this new church, in church number 3, where none of them are believers, but they're having so much fun that they're coming every single week and they're asking to do more and more. And it's huge. It's really huge. They also do other things besides just the church planning. So,
baptisms, weddings, and Alta leads a monthly women's meeting.
So her monthly meetings for women are times where she is trying to bring together women, and they're trying to connect. They're trying to build relationships. They're not necessarily doing a Bible study and, talking all about the Word of God. She's bringing groups together to get to know each other, right? Because you start that relationship on a personal level with somebody, and then you're able to slowly start to introduce to them about our Lord. And that's what she's doing. So they get together and they do fun things like making earrings and jewelry or baking cookies or other just kind of hang out and have fun sorts of things. And she's getting a great reception. And a lot of women who don't even come to the church are coming to these meetings. And after coming to the meetings a couple of times, then all of a sudden they're showing up in church on Sunday morning. And it's fantastic. It's huge for them. But Tony's doing some stuff too.
He organizes Bible studies with her two kids at home to strengthen their belief in Jesus. And he also leads a men's Bible study in and outside of the church. So,
Tony and Alta, feel very strongly that you don't just talk about God in church. Right? You talk about God all the time. And so they're working with their kids to do Bible study at home to help their kids grow in their relationship. And this is a recent picture of them and the kids, which is just a beautiful picture. They really, really, truly have a heart for ministry and a heart for spreading God's love. And they grew up very non-Christian, right? They grew up in a very different world than what we have had the privilege of growing up in here, most of us. And to know that they've gone from that place of God doesn't exist, in fact, God can't exist, it's not allowed to exist, to planting their third church and reaching out to hundreds of people who also grew up in a world where God didn't exist, and they're bringing them to a place where they worship their Lord day in and day out is huge. And they do as much as they possibly can with the resources that they have. But they know God has put it on their heart to do a lot more. Not all of us are called to plant churches. I mean, Pastor Tim could probably tell you way better than I what that entails to plant a church and to grow it. That's a lot of work, and they've done it 3 times now. But they truly feel called that no matter what the resources are and no matter what obstacles lie on their path, that this is what they need to do. This is where they need to be. And they are trudging forward. And they just are great people. And I can't wait to be able to introduce those of you who haven't met them. And some of you have met them and known them for many, many years. Nanette and Tom knew them from college, right? Or how long ago? 10 years. So they've known him for 10 years. I mean, that's huge, right? But most of us have never met them in person. And so when they come visit us the weekend of June 2nd, We hope to be able to host a meet and greet, a dinner, or brunch or something. So details to follow on that for you guys. But I would really love for you guys to be able to come and meet them and get to know them on a deeper level, similar to what Jeff and I have been able to have the privilege to do. Okay? Tim?
Jeff, why don't you just stay up here with me, buddy? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That was worth the whole mission month right there. Just to see the pain that was going on in him. It was good. It was good. How'd you do? Did you get some information? Did you fill out some in your first one? Hopefully you did. A lot of information there. Let me just follow up on a little bit of it. It is primarily a Muslim nation, but it is a secular Muslim nation, which would be a little bit different than what you're reading about or hearing about in the news on a daily basis. Let me move from their story to our story. Try and make this as quick as I possibly can because I want to get to the my story part, the part for us today, that next level. Give you a little history. From the moment our church was organized into a formal body, in fact, even before that, mission was a primary concern to us. I myself grew up in a home where missions was emphasized. And I know a lot of kids grew up with sports heroes, and I had some of those, or just well-known people, people who were statesmen, stateswomen, who were the heroes in their life. But equally, if not greater, in my home were missionaries, especially missionaries that went from our country to a foreign land and sacrificed everything, or missionaries who were nationals who, like in Tony and Alta's case, really did things that were contrary to what they grew up with. Like, it was an explosion when they met Christ, and it transformed their lives, and they felt like that was the passion God gave them. So from very early on, we started supporting missions. It was kind of like a young couple that gets married, and they don't know much about marriage, right? And as they discover it, they say to someone who's been married for a long time, "Did you know this about marriage?" And that couple's been married about 15 years goes, "Yeah, we knew that." Okay? We were in those early stages. All we knew is the good news was something that we wanted shared around the world. And there were people going around the world sharing. So we started in that Romans passage that talked about how can they hear unless someone goes? How can they go unless someone sends them? And then ends with, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And so we thought early on it was important for us as a church to start supporting. But we didn't have much of a framework. If somebody in our church knew about someone who was on the mission field, we said, hey, tell them to come. We'll hear what's going on in their life. And then we'll pray about it and see if that's what God wants us to do. And that's how we started supporting several of the missionaries. But along the way, we grew a little bit, just like that married couple that's just married and then grows into marriage a little bit. You start learning. And we decided we'd set a framework down for our church and for our missions. And so for our church, we believe in what we call the three R's. We believe in these three R's. And I hope we believe in it deeply enough that when I ask this question, we'll get responses. Can anybody tell me one of the three R's? You can say it right. This isn't class during the week. What is it? What'd you say, Tom Levan? Real. Be real. Okay, that's one of the R's. Be real. Because we really want here for us to be real. We don't want it to be a presentation. We want it to be a real outworking in our lives. So real was one of the things that we looked for. Somebody else just said another one. Who said another one? Relational. Okay. That's huge to us, right? That's a big thing. People that visit say, on your website it says you start at 10:30, but you never, you're not starting at 10:30. Listen, we shoot for 10:40 and hope that happens. Okay? But what you'll find is before church, and then if you stay around after church, you'll find people hanging around because we want to be real with each other. We don't want to present this image that isn't who we are. And we want to be relational. We deeply care about each other, and we want to care deeply about each other. And then there's a third R, not as easy as real and relational. Anybody? Be relevant. We want for people to understand what's being communicated from God's word. So as we started developing not just those three R's, but missions, what we were looking for was missionaries, because there are missionaries around the world that do 100 different jobs, 100 different occupations. There's an organization called Wycliffe Bible Translators. Some of you maybe say Wycliffe Bible Translators. And they're just doing that. That's their sole purpose, is to go into every people group, every language group, and translate the Bible into that native tongue. So that's one form. So years ago, we supported a missionary who was part of Wycliffe, and his primary responsibility was printing the material in the country that he was in. But as we formed it down more and more, we wanted to know that if we were in Tirana, Albania, looking for a church, that if we got to Tony and Alta's church, that we were going to feel this link to them. Not knowing why, but we were going to feel this link about these people are very real. They're very relational. The things they're talking about, the things that they're doing are very relevant. We wanted to have missionaries that matched us, that we thought were frontline, like trying to reach out to people who had never been in church before, or who had been in church but were hurt and had pushed away. We wanted people who were passionate. One of the things that we've looked for in the missionaries that we support are their humility in Christ. And this is what I would say. Sometimes they're really good speakers. Sometimes they're not as good speakers. But what they hold is this incredible passion to share Jesus Christ with anybody in their world. And so a little over 10 years ago, we heard about this young national pastor. And he came to town, and some of our mission team met with him. And in that very first meeting, before we even started praying, I think all of our hearts linked to Tony. His story, his passion, the vision God had placed in front of him. When I mentioned just a second ago that it is a secular Muslim nation, bordered by Muslim nations that it's not secularized. There are the nations, in many cases, that we're reading about in the news on a regular basis. One of the first things that I heard Tony say as a vision that's become a reality is teams from their church in Albania, because they can, passport-wise they can, travel to countries like Turkey. They travel there doing mission outreaches. Like a country you and I can't get into is easy, they use their passport, that invitation, that opportunity to go to nations that I think most people are afraid to travel in, and travel in and talk about Jesus Christ. So we prayed about it, and we took them on for support. And then we have gradually increased that financial support. So that gives you a little up to date on our story. But I want to talk about the my story part just quickly here. Last week we looked at this verse, or we looked a little bit farther than this, but I'm going to narrow it to Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And we looked at verse 3 last week. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. And this is a national pastor. This is a missionary talking about a group of Christians that he'd helped with the planting of their church. And now he was away from them. And so I want us to put that in this mindset that we're thinking about missions. And especially today when we're thinking about the Minellis. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. So could I just do a side? This is just going to take me a second. Hopefully this is pain-free for all of you. But I want to do a little reverse engineering. Have you heard that term before? Reverse engineering? Like they're doing it in every field now. Yeah, how many of you like TV cooking shows? Have you seen them? They say it this way. We're going to deconstruct this recipe and then reconstruct it. But we're going to go to the end product and work our way back. So the verse that I just read ends with this word joy. And then if you do reverse engineering, you move your way back through it, you hit this word thanks. And we spent some time on that last week. And then it moves back, if you reverse engineer, to this idea of think. And I just want to do a little side on this. If the goal that you have as a Christian is to live in the joy of the Lord, here's a sure way for it to happen. If that's your goal, if you want to get to joy, then this is the truth. You're going to have to start thinking about the things that you're thankful for. And remember, we looked at this last week. Thanks is not just giving thanks, but in the middle of that word, the original root word is this word charis, Greek for the word grace. So just a side thought. If my goal is joy, it has to start with me thinking about the blessings God's given, being thankful for them, and that's what leads to joy. Let me give you this quote, and I'm going to read it. Steve, if you could put it up on the screen for me. Holding on to a positive vision, and this is not just the power of positive thinking, okay? Brain studies have shown that we may be hardwired to focus on problems at the expense of positive vision. The human brain wraps around fear like Velcro. We don't do this very often. And all God's people said, I hate to agree with that, but I can't help it. The human brain wraps around fear like Velcro. We dwell on bad experiences long after the fact and spend vast amounts of energy anticipating what might go wrong in the future. Conversely, positivity and gratitude and simple happiness slide away like cheese on hot Teflon. I didn't know I'd get Velcro and Teflon together on a Sunday morning ever. Studies like the ones done by neuroscientist Rick Hansen show that we must consciously hold on to a positive thought or feeling for a minimum of 15 seconds before it leaves any imprint in the neurons. Woo-hoo-hoo! Right, this week we're going to practice 15 seconds of not only thinking of the gifts, the grace God's given us, but being thankful for that. Because the promise all through Scripture is that's what leads to joy. If you're sitting in a lot of sadness, a lot of ugh, just do some reverse engineering. Just back it up and ask, what have I been thankful for today? Then back it up, what should I be thankful for today? And back it up, have I been thinking about that? All right. That had nothing to do with missions. But it leads me to this, the next level of my story. It's these four words in a row. It's think, thanks, pray, joy. Last week we looked at think and thanks, and now what we're going to add to every time I think about Tony and Elta, man, I can't believe the gift they are to us, the gift they are in Toronto, the gift they are to those ladies who get together, see the teacups, like, tea party. Our family reunion's coming up in Tennessee, and the men go golfing, the ladies have a tea party, and the joke is, it's just a gossip session that they call a tea party. Like, every time I think of them, the blessing they are, I give thanks. Guess where that leads to? Every time I think about the Minellis and I think about the gift they are, I give thanks. Guess what comes natural after that? To pray. Guess what comes natural in that prayer? Joy. Like when I pray, it floods my soul with joy. This week we're not going to push too far into my story. What's that next level for me? But I am going to push at this point. Like, we do support them financially, and I think in many ways we pray for them. But I'm wondering how often we think about the Minellis. And when we think about them, give thanks. Just being thankful for them pushes us to pray. Prayer fills my soul with this joy. That's really where I want you to go today. I'm wondering if you don't think often about them, if you'll think more often. And thinking will lead to thanking. And thanking will lead to prayer. And prayer will lead to joy. Sarah was about 2.5, 3 years old, and a missionary came to our church, and the kids were all in, including Sarah at 2.5. And the missionary asked, if you'll pray for me, if you'll keep praying for me, would you raise your hand? And the missionary was from Korea, and her name was Kimberly Kim. I can't tell you how many times after that I thought, kids are amazing, man. Like, they hear about somebody like Kimberly Kim, and they raise their little hand, and we're all going, oh, that's so cute. And yet, all the years growing up, when I would have prayer with Sarah before she would go to sleep, she'd pray about a lot of things. But always about Kimberly Kim. We have some of our older kids up here, not that 2.5-year-olds. But I'm wondering today, when you looked at this family and saw those two kids, I'm wondering if God links your heart to them and you're going to pray for them. I'm wondering if that's what He wants. In a second, I'm going to invite Jeff back up for his second torture session. But before then, there's a video, and it's from this family that we're really trying to get to know better. So, Steve, if you could play that.
Hello, brothers and sisters of Community Bible Church.
We all are one family. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in my prayer, making a request for you all with joy for our fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ.
E palinderoj perëndin tim se e ju kujtoj duke u lutur gjithmonë me gëzim për ju të gjithë në çdo lutje që bëj për pjesëmarrjen tuaj në Ungjillin që nga dita e parë e deri tani, duke qenë i bindur për të, se ai që nisi një punë të mirë në ju do ta përfundojë deri në ditën e Jezusit.
So now we're going to put up that verse in Albanian, and we're all going to say it. There's not a chance. What a mess that would be. Yeah. Jeff, you want to come up with prayer needs? You coming up? Really, I'm not. I thought that's what was supposed to happen. So.
Prayer needs.
Wait.
Do you need a hug?
For the kids to grow deeper in a relationship with Christ, for more women to come to their monthly meetings, health and strength for Tony and Alta as they struggle to balance with their ministry and their home life and their family, and I'm sure that's a lot when you got three churches and trying to do that with everybody and have your own family. So for new people to come on worship and learn with them, safe travels when they come here next month, and to make good connections while they're here to help support them as in their ministries there. And also while they're here, that their ministry continues to thrive at home while they're here traveling. So, all right. Now we're doing a...
Good?
Sure. Now we're going point by point. So.
Yeah, well, this bullet says, go have a seat.
Okay.
It's over, man. It's over for a while. Yeah. I'm going to lead us in prayer for them. Yes, Vinny? Yeah, we'll put it on Facebook for you. But again, like as Jeff's reading through those and, you know, we're sharing, jot those down on this. It's a good place for you to put it down. Writing down things makes an impact on this. Like it holds us to something. I was going to ask you to raise your hand if you're going to pray for them, but that's between you and God. Okay, but we do want to pray for them as a church family today. So whoever you're sitting close to, just grab their hand, if you would. Let's the church family, we are family, pray for this family and anticipate them coming for this visit. Okay? Anybody not sitting by somebody you want to hold hands with? Because you can move if you need to. Like if you've had a rough morning before you got here, it's all right. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thanks for your work in any of our lives. Thank you for hearing about Tony and Alta's story. Thank you for Grace, Matthias. Thank you that they get to come as a family on their trip this year. Thank you. We do pray for their needs. We see the picture of Alta and the ladies' meetings that she's having. And we know that this is a pattern that they've been involved in all three church plants. And I know it was really not easy for them to move from each church because the people that filled those churches were people that they led to Christ. They were there at their spiritual birth. I know it wasn't easy, but you've not called them to easy. You've called them to follow your purpose and your plan in their lives, and they have faithfully done that. We do pray for a good, healthy balance between family and ministry. Thank you that Tony has the outreach he does to men's groups. Thank you that Tony and Alta are so passionate about their kids knowing Christ. Not just living it on Sunday, but living it as they move through their week and living it every day. Thank you so much for that. We do pray your blessing on them. And we pray that part of that blessing is that you would put on our hearts to think about them more often, to be thankful for them, to pray for them, and to be filled with the joy of being connected with a brother and sister halfway around the world from us. I pray this in a selfish way, and I know it's something that Tony's wanted, that a team from our church would be able to travel to Albania to help them in their ministry, their camp programs, their kids' outreach, their English as a second language classes that they have, all to bring people into a relationship with Christians so that they can come into a relationship with you through Christ. Thank you for this group of people that has for over a decade supported them financially and in prayer support. Link us, take us to a new level of relationship with this family and help them to feel that. Help them to feel our love and our prayers and our support. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Trace and Chase.
So we're going to be doing an offering for missions, and so I'd like to invite the ushers up. This is a time for us to give a little more, dig a little deeper for missions, specifically to help those missionaries that we support in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So today, Chase is actually going to pray for our offering for us. And then I'd like you all to watch the video and listen to the words of the song that's going to play. The Minellis, I asked them the question, what song do you think captures the heart of your ministry and what you're doing in Albania? And this is the song that they chose for us. And so I listened to it, and man, it just sparked a whole onslaught of thoughts and prayers and things. And it really, truly goes to the heart of missions, and it really, truly goes to the heart of what they're doing. And so I'd like you all to just listen to it and see if it speaks to you on a level it did to me. See if it speaks to you on a level it speaks to the Minellis.
Dear Lord, I pray that you take this offering and use it in the Minellis, and I know you've done a lot in them, and I just pray that you do more in them, and they have a safe trip when they come here to meet us. Amen.
There is no one like I.
I hope we believe that too about our city and about Tirana, like Albania, this city that they're ministering. God's got greater things. Let's all stand. So, Steve, I'm going to ask you to put up that Philippians 1, 3 through 4, 3 and 4 verse for me. We're going to try in this month time to repeat it enough times, think about it, like go over it enough times that we can cement those words in our heart, okay? So do you remember the four words that I went every time somebody tell me? Think, man, that's good of you. I give whenever I make my request for all of you with joy. So just... before we do this as a group, I just want you to look at whoever's close to you and say these four words. Say think, thanks, pray, joy. Go ahead. Now, how many of you are used to not talking in church? Okay. Because maybe that was a rough one for you. I'm going to try it again. Just want you to say those four words. Look at somebody boldly. If you make a mistake, they're probably going to go, hey, you got one wrong there. That's okay. All right. Give a lot of grace to that. I just want you to say those four words to each other. OK, turn to maybe somebody new this time. Good. Yeah. Good. All right. Good. Tom LeVan, turn around. Julia needs to say it to somebody. Yeah. I saw her sitting back there by herself. Look at that look. That look is, man, Tim, I'm so happy you pointed me out in front of everybody. It's OK, Julia. We'll get by it. All right, we're going to do Philippians 1, 3 through 4, and we're going to fill in the blank as we go through it. Ready for this? Philippians 1, 3 through 4. Every time I give to my God, whoever I make my request for all of you with joy. Okay, remember, if we're going to get the joy, there's a way to get there. It's thinking about the right things, being thankful, praying, and that takes us to the spot of joy. And I hope this week that next level for you is something connected to the Minellis. Let me finish with prayer, okay? Lord, thanks. Take us to that new place, that next place you want us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.